Okay, looks like it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn, not adjourn, and begin the meeting. Let's start with our roll call, and then we will go to public comment. So, Adrian Barnes? Not yet. Mike Barr?
I am here.
Thank you, Mike. Steve Borg? Not here yet. Jonathan? Dharmapalin, Wei-Ling Huber.
I'm on the phone right now and also joining by a different device on camera right now.
Great. Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Here.
Thank you. And Dwayne Walton.
I'm here.
Thank you, Dwayne. Okay, given the time constraints that we have for today's meeting, I'm not going to read the meeting norms or the land acknowledgement, but we do have them on the screen. I want to go ahead and go to public comment so we have enough time to hear from the public. So let's go ahead and call the names. Romy, can you do that?
Sure. I have Chris Bradburn first for public comment.
Thank you.
Hi. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. I usually am a little more prepared with notes, so hopefully I'll be able to get this out coherently. So we had our last bargaining session today with OSA and got some, I would call, pretty distressing news. I think you were familiar with the counter that we gave to the OSA counter, in which we were hoping for steps and columns, had some serious concerns about years 12 through 25. Basically what OSA explained to us today through their accountant was that they are not going to be able to give a counter because the amount of money available for anything more is fixed at this point. And the reason that we were told it's fixed is due to a major issue with CalSTRS, which, as I understand, I've been able to figure out, really started it as far back, if not a little further than 2016. The gist of it is that a lot of teachers were supposed to be on CalSTRS that were not put on CalSTRS. There's also some information about teachers were told to leave CalSTRS when they were on. It's a pretty complicated situation. But the gist of it is that because of this massive mistake that was made by OSA under, I believe it was under Chief Financial Officer Jonathan Faustine, we were told that a calculation, there was a miscalculation in something, that OSA now owes to CalSTRS between $1.2 and $1.7 million in back payments, as well as possibly some fines and late payments. So basically the argument that we were given in bargaining today is this really limited room that they've got for any additional funding that will bring teachers to a livable wage because of this huge error that was made five, six, who knows how many years ago. And this is the state we're in. Obviously we're deeply concerned. I personally am horrified that this was not told to us a long time ago. There's been very limited transparency on this. But that's the gist of it, is we were basically rebuffed in our counter because OSA has a huge debt to pay that we just found out about today. And that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I see Jeremy Taylor next.
Yeah, so just picking up on that, the timeline and transparency of this information is very concerning. If this information in any capacity was known prior to today by OSA and not shared with us, given the implications that it has for good faith bargaining, the fact that this information was dropped at us at lunchtime on the sixth of six-hour bargaining sessions that we agreed to hold during our summer vacation. The timing of that was at best unfortunate and also kind of suspicious. If it really wasn't known until today, then it kind of feels like that means there was $1.2 to $1.7 million worth of money that could have gone to teachers that now needs to go to CalSTRS. And so then I would have questions about, well, why was OSA withholding that money when that would have covered our last salary proposal? And I'm further concerned by the statements today that kind of become a recurring theme that budgets are fixed and there's nothing that can be done. So I do want to reiterate that back when this board was considering charter renewal, this board made the decision not to pursue school expansion, which would have significantly increased revenues. I cautioned against that. And my comment at the time was, don't tie your hands financially and come back later and say, well, look, there's no money, because you're the reason there's no money if you make that decision. And so I'm concerned that we've gotten all of one counter from OSA before they've said that they're not willing to budge any further. That doesn't feel like a negotiation or bargaining process that is going to move us forward. Thank you.
The name looks like Liz, but it also looks like Maury on the screen. So Maury.
Thank you, Romy. I'm sorry about that. So Maury Reardon, APT co-president, it seems like a lot of us are just finding out about this magnitude of the error. And I just want to say that it feels really appalling and the potential impact on staff. So I think there will be a lot of interest from community in how this can be addressed, whether there are payment plans or repayment plans and avoiding the pain fall completely on this teachers union. I have to say that I'm the little gem I can see in this is that I think there is increased trust in this board with Josefina as chair and some other members on, but I'm hoping we can avoid the lack of transparency that has surrounded this board for years. And we demand that we find out information about the timeline of this error, who was involved in this error, when the board knew about this error, complete information. And that is the way we will get and be able to bridge to getting to a better place in this, but nothing short of that. And again, I just would like for, community and the folks that work at the school to know a lot more about what happened here. And I have to say, I'd also be curious, is this a risk to charter, the magnitude of this effort, of this mistake? I think that's a valid question. So I'm hoping to hear more from the board in the item on the agenda. Thank you.
Hi, next up is Dr. Melinda De Jesus.
Hi, everyone. Melinda De Jesus. I'm the parent of two kids at OSA and also co-chair of APT. I just found out about this about an hour ago, and I just want to reiterate what Maury also said. I'm absolutely appalled by this lack of oversight, and I find that the timing of the revelation of the $1.2 to $1.7 million owed to CalSTRS very questionable at this point in the COSATS bargaining. Like Maury, I really believe there needs to be another audit and an investigation into this issue so we can find out who knew what when and when this could have been prevented. The board has to be accountable for this. This really shows an incredible lack of oversight and leadership. There is no one else who is responsible for this. It's certainly not the teachers. I also want to basically just really reiterate that this issue cannot derail the COSATS bargaining for fair compensation. What about using your rainy day fund to take care of this? And then we can also have the CBA. And I also think that this shows really concretely how there must be teacher seats on the board of directors so something like this in the future does not happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next is Karen Morfin.
Hi, I want to say that to preface of who I am, I have a child, an incoming child also, in OSA, so there will be two kids that will be affected by this, affected by the lack of transparency with the teachers. I also would like to know, as an accountant and a CPA licensed in California, how did this happen? How did the checks and balance did not catch this in 2016 and going forward? Every time there's a change in law, a change in regulation, a change of status on full-time employment, a change of calculation, it is public to the board, it is public to the financial team, it is public to those in charge. And this shouldn't have gone 5 years with a mistake like this. If we have a team of auditors that audit our financial statements, how did this not come up in their notes? How did this change from full-time employment from 2015 to 2016 laws did not get passed by the auditors and the calculations of your liabilities? I also would like to know, how did this came to knowledge of OSA, in what form? What is our total full liability? How much of these fees can be abated? As we know, interest cannot be waived. So if we could please have all of these in a town hall to OSA community would be ideal, because we deserve to have some of these answers and clarity around this. And again, I think we should look towards a solution that is bringing in more funds, using those rainy funds. This is a rainy, perfect situation for rainy funds, but not put this burden on our staff. We already lost 20% of our workforce. Let's not lose more because of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next is Time In.
Hi, hello. I don't know if you can hear me because my computer is doing a lot of weird things. But yeah, I also just found out about this very recently, obviously, which means I don't know very much about it, and I also don't understand very much about it. But yeah, but that also just highlights, yeah, how a lot of these issues are in transparency and communication and like lack of information and stuff like that, just like everybody else has said. Yeah, I don't really know what to say about this, besides that, like, I just stand in complete solidarity with COSATs and want to, like, keep reiterating that whatever decisions we're making in the future to kind of remedy the situation or to move forward and change our budget or whatever needs to happen, that staff and teachers and their compensation and their treatment is, like, number one priority, like, at the very front of the line. Nothing comes before our teachers and staff. Everything over the past few years has already been said, like, they're the backbone of our school. We've already lost so many of them. We can't afford to lose a single another teacher. Like, and the fact that, like, long-term teachers have just found about this five-year-long issue today is, like, a huge issue, obviously, let alone the community. So, yeah, just definitely, like, we just keep having this problem of communication and transparency and compensation for our teachers and, like, prioritizing our teachers and all these things, and we can't, like, keep saying it forever. And this is kind of like a huge, like, thing that has just been revealed that needs to be fixed somehow. I don't know how it's going to be fixed. But somehow something has to happen, and that the community and our teachers are involved in that process, but also not, like, fully burdened with it. And yeah, so just supporting the ask for more information and an audit and such. But yeah, we just have to move forward completely with those as our priority.
Thanks, Ty. Up next is Bruna Nguyen.
Hi. For those of you that don't know me, I teach in the visual art department. I've been an OSA for 10 years. I just want to say that I'm so grateful for, like, Jeremy and Chris and, like, Andy, people that I know who are, like, so into this thing. But I got to be real. I have no excuse for being bad at this stuff and oblivious to my own, you know, paycheck sometimes. But I always trusted Antoinette a lot. But I just feel like, man, you can make me as a teacher committed to the school feel like a chump, like I'm being taken advantage of. I haven't felt that way before, but that's what's kind of freaking me out. And I'm probably one of those older teachers. I'm in my late 50s. You know, so I have to start thinking about this stuff, even though I don't want to. But I don't want to have to be, I mean, to be real, I'm not as good at this shit as like Chris and Jeremy and stuff are. And I'm so thankful that somebody's letting me know what's going on, but that's a whole new headspace for me at OSA to feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Possibly. How is that going to affect my commitment as a teacher and to my students and to the school? Like, that freaks me out. It's hard enough coming back from the pandemic and trying to get in this headspace, you know, but now hearing this too, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, seriously? And I shouldn't have to work that hard, and neither should COSACs but anyway, that's where my head's at now. You know, like, seriously, am I committed to be here for the rest of my career or whatever? This is making me question it straight up. And I don't like feeling like a chump, like being taken advantage of. I don't like that at all. So that's it.
Thanks, Bruna. Anya Close is next.
Hi, thank you so much, Bruna, for your words and everyone else. I'm a former teacher from OSA. Unfortunately, I was not able to return for next year. Wanted to stay for a really long time. I'm here today, unfortunately, to add just a little bit more to apparently a long list of grievances. I never received an exit interview when I decided that I was not able to return to OSA. I reached out, to Lori, of course, and you know, things get lost, like email graduation, totally, totally understandable. Reached out recently, like after my account was deactivated from my personal account, just to really make sure I could have that exit interview, because I actually helped another colleague of mine correct her pay this year to reflect hours outside of class time, which I didn't realize we were able to access. I was told when I first started at OSA that I could only put on my timesheet the times that I was facing a class. Not my prep time, not my grading time. So those are the hours that I've been putting in my timesheet. Helped another colleague this year to fix that. Learned that we can get paid and put that time in for time that we prep and time that we grade. So I wanted to speak about that in the exit interview so that we could maybe retroactively fix that. And I haven't had an opportunity to do that. I haven't heard back from anyone. I just had an email to the administration a couple weeks ago. Mike and Lori, when I say administration, that's what I mean. So I hate to add that on to this, but I wanted to make sure to be here today to make sure that that was known. I appreciate COSATs for all you do. Thank you everybody for sharing all of your words. Thank you those of you who are here to be in solidarity with COSATs. I am in solidarity with you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Up next is
Patrick Anseth. Hi, Patrick Anseth here. Been at OSA for over a decade. I put it in writing and chat, but then realized I should probably get it on record. I would like the board to look into legal action against those who committed this, and also look into possible lawsuits to cover some of the financial burden, because it's kind of insane to make such a grave error and then let it go unchecked for so long. And I also would like to implore you not to ever use the financial auditors that you've used in the past, because they clearly missed this and are not then capable of doing a financial audit. It's problematic to have been here and given so much time and energy to this place and then have it thrown in your face. So I hope it gets taken seriously and that the culprits are up to justice. Thank you.
That looks like it concludes public comment sign up.
Okay, thank you everybody for coming to the meeting, sharing your public comments. The board is listening to everyone and will take all of the feedback back to our deliberations, public and private. We're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. And we need a motion to approve the consent agenda. We have the resolution 2021 to 2013. I don't know if we have anyone to speak on that.
Sorry, it's just part of the consent agenda. So it's been sent to the board and posted on the website. It's just a pro forma annual approval of the EPA funding.
Okay, and then we have minutes approval. So if anybody has any changes to the minutes, we need to hear those changes now before we accept the motion to approve the consent agenda. So hearing that there are no changes to the any of the minutes that are on the consent agenda, we need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I'm assuming it's Dwayne. Okay. Thanks, Jason. I'll second.
Okay. So we have a motion from Jason to accept the consent agenda and a second from Dwayne. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing there is no discussion, then we'll take a roll call vote. Mike Barnes?
Yes.
Thank you. Adrian Barnes.
Abstain.
Okay. Steve Borg? No. Jonathan Dharmapalin? Okay. Wei-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Thank you. And I also vote yes. So the consent agenda is approved. And the board is going to recess to closed session to receive an update and have discussion on labor negotiations with our attorney. So I believe, Roman, you're going to put us into a breakout room. Hi, everybody. We're back from closed session. We do not have anything to report back out to the public from our closed session. I want to thank everybody for attending this meeting and sharing in public comment. There are several follow-up steps the next few weeks, and so I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you again. The meeting is adjourned.